It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near, and I can feel the change.
So much. Well, we are fortunate that we do have a speaker today that was willing to come and join us at last minute notice. So I'm very excited to welcome Sarah Rain. Sarah Rain is the founder and president of Sarathi, Anayat, Interfaith Sufi Path. She is an interfaith minister, a mentor for the Dances of Universal Peace, a spiritual director, and a retreat leader. She lives in Fort Collins and shares the universal Sufi message of spiritual liberty along the Front Range and further afield nationally and internationally. It is my great honor to welcome Sara.
Hello, friends. I'm so happy to be with you again, and I'm very sorry that it is because Trish is not feeling well, and nothing to worry about, and she was really trying to be well enough to come, and so it was a last minute, like, okay. So, but before we get, oh, I kind of like it. It's like a security, no, thank you. I'll put it down. Thank you. Is it on, though? Is it wasting juice right now? Okay. So I like to begin with the invocation of this beautiful Sufi master, Inayat Khan. And since the projector things are not playing nicely with other children, I would like to invite you to do this as a call and response with me, which I always feel is a little bit tricky because we get into a default mode of like, now I have to repeat whatever I'm supposed to repeat, whether I like it or not, and after I say it, I might have a little inner torment with my soul going like, I wish I hadn't said that. So I would like to invite you to do this as a call and response with me, but I'll say one line and then just take a breath to rest and let you see, like, how does that feel and do I want to say that before we'll say it together if you want to. Okay, so. Towards the One. Towards the One. The perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. Hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Do we want to say that? The perfection of love, harmony, and beauty? Hold on. The perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls. That one might take another minute. United with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master. That one will take 3 more minutes. Who form the embodiment of the Master. Who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance. The spirit of guidance. Thank you, friends. So that's the invocation, that's the starting place in the Sufi path that I scramble along. And I was gonna say dance along, but sometimes it's more of a scramble than a dance. And so in the theme of faith, we have so many beautiful opportunities to consternate about what that means and how that shows up in our lives, or if it shows up in our lives and how it might support us. And in the Sufi path that I am muddling through, stumbling along, flowing with, we celebrate and welcome and turn towards all of the wisdom traditions of the world to see if there's help for us over there. And I'm gonna jump a little bit to say it is said that Sufis are like Krishna, and the child Krishna in Hinduism was known for stealing butter. That was, which is a literal thing, but it's also a figurative thing. That is, where is all of the most delicious, yummy, good stuff? And let's go get it. And it's not taking it from anyone else or depriving anyone, but it's just knowing that we are drawn to where the heart finds sweetness and nourishment, and where we find the possibility for comfort and strength and courage. And this shows up in every faith tradition that has ever existed to benefit humanity. And in truth, all of the faith traditions exist for this exact purpose. If we did not have the absolute fundamental need for faith, for encouragement, for strength and sustenance along the way to deal with the struggles of everyday life, there would never have been any need for religion or spiritual practice of any kind. So the purpose is to meet us in the struggle, to meet us in the suffering, to meet us in the confusion, and maybe to help shine some clarifying light, or maybe just to keep us company. So my Sufi hero, Piero Murshid, and I at Khan talked a lot about faith and what that is and what it means and how it might be available to us. And he said that faith is the natural attitude of all beings. And we think about it as a receptivity. That means our willingness to believe what we are told. And all of us come into the world being 100% willing to believe 100% of what we are told. And if that were not true, no human being would ever survive the earliest infancy, would never learn language, would never learn how to do or navigate the world in any way at all. So the beginning point is belief. That is accepting what we are told. Fortunately or unfortunately, we reach the age of 2 or 3, where we start saying no to everything. And we start questioning and arguing and developing personal sovereignty and autonomy that has us rejecting or willing to push against anything that we're told, because we have free will. How wonderful is that? Not for the parents, but, well, for the parents too, but. And then it gets a little softer in early childhood, and then it gets worse in teenagehood, and then it gets worse through early adulthood, and then it gets better as we get older into middle age. And I think I'm starting to get there. I'm 48 years old now. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to settle into this, like more equanimity, more acceptance, more balance, and more willingness to look at all of the different sides of things and see what's really comfortable and to keep my equanimity in that. Maybe you have something like that as well. So we go through these stages of belief. Once we get into our conscious, conscientious, autonomous maturity, then we get to explore belief that starts with a thought, that starts with, and actually even before the thought, there's the inspiration, the imagination, that is just the free-flowing mind that says, what's possible? And then, once we have some possibilities in mind, then we can go, what do I think about that? And to apply our reasoning and our intelligence. And once we have landed on thought, then we start strengthening and solidifying that into what we could call belief. And Murshid describes that once belief has become really solid and integrated in our being, then it is faith. So that's the definition of what faith is. Okay, now we can look for how does faith express itself, or how do the religions and spiritual paths of the world help us understand and access that quality of faith, of such solid, stable, grounded, unwavering belief that we can take all confidence in, that we can relax into and feel nourished by. Okay, are you with me so far? I was hoping that I could give you some words for these things, but since that, I'll give them to you through my mouth instead of on a screen. So here is, based on the most cornerstone essential Hindu prayer of the Gayatri Mantra, that most people, if they have any experience, explorations in yoga and the Hindu faith tradition, if you can even call it that, philosophy, life approach, perspective, there's some familiarity with or an adherence to, a reliance on the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is a prayer that is asking for our awareness to be illuminated and to be truly realized and united as the God reality, which is represented as the light of the sun, because there's an unwavering sense of luminous truth that is present and available for all beings. And it is understood in the Hindu philosophy, in yogic philosophy, that these human beings, that each of us, each of you, are the exact same substance as God in an individuated form. This is true in unity too, isn't it? I mean, your unity spiritual center, unity belief, that same, God, human, individual self, collective, unity, same. Different shirt today. Everything else, same. So in the Gayatri Mantra, we are saying, I am going to do my best to shape my awareness toward the understanding of the reality that I am not separate from God. And the beginning of the Gayatri Mantra, so we're not actually going to go into the whole Gayatri Mantra because it's a whole lot, but we are going to go into the seed syllables that are the introduction for the expanded version of the Gayatri Mantra, which addresses each of the energy centers in the body that probably some of you have heard the word chakra, that is the energy centers in the body, and there's a system where you can go, well, like it's roughly in this part of the body, it's roughly here, it's roughly here, but in all of these things, we're like, we are a whole soul. And so these symbolic energy holders are place markers where we can put our attention and help the teachings and the concepts be felt and useful. So the beginning of the Gayatri Mantra goes through each of the seed syllables associated with each of the chakras, the energy centers in the body, beginning with Om Bhur. Please try that. Om Bhur. Oh, I should have told you what it is. No, I did tell you what it is. So through each of these, we start with the ideas of the most dense, that is the most coarse, the least refined, or the most mundane, the most earth plane, tangible, felt substance. And as we move through them and we move up through the body, we also move up in our consciousness into what you could think of as more refined or celestial or purified, perfected forms of awareness. So it goes from Om Bhur, that is associated with the root chakra. Next one is Om Bhuvaha. Please try that if you wish. Om Bhuvaha. And this is the energy center that is in the belly, lower belly-ish. And so we start moving from the most dense, which you can also think about as most survival level, like when we're really in the muck of things, we're functioning at the Om Bhur level. And then we start being able to move with a little more comfort, a little more capacity, Om Bhuvaha, that's in the belly. Then we come up into the energy center that is like our solar plexus that's underneath the sternum in the deep torso of the belly. We say Om Svaha. Om Svaha. That has a sense of power and strength and affirmation in your physical felt reality. Then we come up into the heart center and say Om Maha. Om Maha, which is a sense of greatness, of a power and an understanding, an integrated wisdom that we feel in our own heart center, in the physical body. Then we come up into the throat center and say Om Janaha. Om Janaha. And now we have the sense of being able to articulate and to express and to move in the world with this integrated beauty. Then we move up into the third eye and say, Om Tapaha. Om Tapaha. That is a purification. That is a clean crystalline awareness. It's still in the body, but it's as high up in the body as we can get before we transcend into Om Satyam. Om Satyam, which is truth. That is the ultimate reality of the God presence that is connected with all of these other energy centers through the body. And so we want to, I don't know if you want to, I want to, and I would love to encourage you if you want to bring the energy and awareness into each of these energy centers and saying, like, we want to bring the light of divine presence, which is the true essence reality of who we are, and we want to instill and affirm and feel that in the lowest aspects of our consciousness, into the mid aspects of our consciousness, into the highest aspects of our consciousness. Does that sound okay? Mm-hmm. Can I get a yes? Yes. Okay. So I'm going to add a little drum. We're going to do a spoken call and response just with these seed syllables. And I invite you to just draw your attention. It doesn't really matter where specifically it is in the body, but you can have a sense of just coming up and up and up and up until we reach that truth, reality at the top. So please repeat after me if you want. Om Bhur, Om Bhur, Om Bhuvaha, Om Bhuvaha, Om Svaha, Om Svaha, Om Maha, Om Maha, Om Janaha, Om Janaha, Om Tapaha, Om Tapaha, Om Satyam, Om Satyam, Om Bhur, Om Bhur, Om Bhuvaha, Om Bhuvaha, Om Svaha, Om Svaha, Om Maha, Om Maha, Om Janaha, Om Janaha, Om Tapaha, Om Tapaha, Om Satyam, Om Satyam, Om Bhur, Om Bhur, Om Bhuvaha, Om Bhuvaha, Om Svaha, Om Svaha, Om Maha, Om Maha, Om Janaha, Om Janaha, Om Tapaha, Om Tapaha, Om Satyam, Om, one more time, Om Bhur, Om Bhur, Om Bhuvaha, Om Bhuvaha, Om Svaha, Om Svaha, Om Maha, Om Maha, Om Janaha, Om Janaha, Om Tapaha, Om Tapaha, Om Satyam, Om Satyam. Can you feel it? When we can feel something physically in our bodies, in our energy, when we can feel the rhythm, the pulse, the strength, the vibration of our own voices, the echo of the cosmos in the cells of our bodies, then we feel encouraged, attuned, aligned, united, realized. Next, we'll touch briefly into a few more faith traditions. Buddhism, which is kind of a Hinduism 2.0. No, I'm just kidding about that. It's not at all. But there are these connections and these evolutions that happen in faith traditions. And so, you know, Buddhism is Hinduism with a particular focus on the consciousness, on overcoming the suffering that is prevalent. And some say that life is suffering. I think that sounds a little dismal. Maybe life includes suffering. And there are ways to find equanimity and peace. And once we find equanimity and peace, we have a natural flow of compassion. That really is the essence of Buddhism. And in Buddhism, because it didn't start out as a specific faith tradition saying you have to believe this or here are the rituals, there are specific teachings that came from Gautama Buddha, but Buddha is a title, it's not someone's name. It is an indication of a level of consciousness which is available for every human being. That is one of the most magnificent things about Buddhism, that it is the living exemplar that helps show us what is possible within our own beings. So there's no idolizing or worshiping some other being. It is taking instruction and courage from the living example of another. So in Buddhism, there are three jewels. They are often they're infinite jewels, but there is a system that is commonly referred to as the three jewels or the three treasures of the Buddhist way of approaching consciousness. And these three jewels are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So every aspect of faith and longing that we experience in life, we can find guidance, courage, sustenance, support, comfort, instruction, and love through these three treasures. Sometimes they're referred to as the three treasures. So just taking a moment to turn our awareness toward the jewel, the treasure of the Buddha. That is the clear, pure, true, clean awareness of all of existence that includes the awareness of our own true nature and the realities that we are able to touch into and to navigate with wisdom and grace if we shape our consciousness and our life experience in this direction. Next is the Dharma, and turning our awareness with gratitude and acknowledgement for the wisdom teachings of all of the great beings that have come and continue to come to shine the light and offer hope and guidance to us human beings, just doing our best to get on through the Dharma, the teachings. And the Sangha. The Sangha is so beautifully represented in a spiritual community like this. The Sangha means the friendship along the way, the companionship of not just every other human being, but the human beings who are deliberately trying to adhere towards the ideals and to walk the path consciously that awakens the heart. The human beings that we can feel comfortable and safe with, and therefore we can bump up against them and start polishing the jagged edges of our own beings toward perfection, always moving toward perfection. Okay. Now, in Judaism, there's a particular prayer phrase that I've been working with in at least the last few days, but it's been with me for a long time, that comes from I'm going to say, this is pretentious of me, it's probably wrong, but I would say the second most famous rabbi in human history. The first most famous rabbi in human history was Jesus. Maybe the second most famous rabbi in human history is Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. That was from the Ukraine. And one of the prayers, phrases that he offered that has become really well-known, adopted, and is often sung and prayed is in the translation of it in English is, "All of the world is a narrow bridge. And the most important thing is to not be afraid. The world is a narrow bridge, and the most important thing is to not be afraid." Does that feel like a comfort to you? Does it feel like a riddle? Does it feel like a curiosity, a frustration, a confusion? The world is a narrow bridge. And looking at this, we go, sometimes there are things like, so don't make your house on it, right? Because a bridge is not some place with a strong, wide foundation where you want to, like, pitch your tent. It's a mode of movement from one place to another. It is a safe passage from one place to another. The world where we are is not a mistake. It is the path. It is the way. We are going from somewhere intentional. We are on the right path, and we are going somewhere intentional. If indeed this world that we are living in, walking, singing in right now, is a bridge, we're doing things right. And in order to move across a bridge skillfully, mindfully, intentionally, beautifully, and safely, we need not to get too distracted. Or if you're going to stop and look around, you can do that, but you'll be there for a little while. So don't get confused. Keeping the eye on the far side of the bridge of where you're going and knowing that there is the light of God there guiding you home. The most important thing is not to be afraid. That means to have confidence, to have faith, to be constant, to follow your path with trust, with love, with intention. So I'm going to sing this phrase for you in Hebrew just once so you can hear it and allow it to like vibrate in the space, in your heart, in your awareness. The world is a narrow bridge. The most important thing is not to be afraid. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzameot, gesher tzameot, gesher tzameot. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzameot, gesher tzameot. The One of the beautiful sayings from the first, the most popular famous rabbi in history is, it is your faith that heals you. There's a story, I'll try to be very brief about this because time is getting short. There's a story about Jesus moving through a very crowded marketplace. I think it's a marketplace. And there's a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years and has found no relief and has consulted all of the doctors and continues to bleed. And she knows that if she is able to touch the Master, Jesus, that she will be healed. And somewhere in this crowded marketplace, she tries to get to him through the throngs of people who are clamoring around him. And she just touches the hem of his robe. And her bleeding immediately stops, and she knows that she is healed. Just touching the hem of the robe. And the story goes that Jesus felt that power move from him somewhere, but he doesn't know who it was. He didn't see who it was. So he goes looking to find out who it was that this power went to. And he discovers her. And she says, you healed me. And he says, it is your faith that healed you. Though he didn't say it in English, he probably said it in Aramaic, which is, Chaimanutki, Achaitki. Chaimanutki, Achaitki. So you can hear the phrase chai in there, which is both in the word for faith and in the word for healing. And chai in itself, in the Aramaic, means life. That means that faith and healing have at the center life. Okay, last tidbit. Ready? In Islam, it is said that the Prophet Muhammad said, trust in Allah and tie your camel. Trust in Allah and tie your camel. That is, have all faith and also do your work. Have confidence and know all the time God is present, God is strength, God is loving you, supporting you, guiding you, encouraging you onward, keeping you company, comforting you in your suffering, and you still need to do your work. And you can. There is probably maybe the most well-known phrase in Islam, is controversial for good reason. It is Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And this is used in lots of ways, and essentially it means that everything that happens is because God is the power presence that allows anything and everything to happen. And that means that each of us can lean into that with confidence, with hope, and with love. One of my other favorite Sufi teachers, Murshid Sufi Ahmed Murad Chisti, Samuel Lewis, said that Allahu Akbar can be translated as, there is power in peace. There is power in peace. Okay. So, will this be loud enough? Inviting you to rest in your own physical body, in the natural rhythm of your breath. Just drawing attention to the breath, it naturally deepens and lengthens, becomes more full, and fills us with more life, more love, more strength. Inviting that breath to soften any areas of tension in the heart, in the mind, in the physical body. And as the breath softens and touches any areas of constriction or tension in the heart, inviting in more love, more capacity for blessing, more light. And into that vast, spacious heart, welcoming in gratitude. Gratitude for the miracle of this moment, for the preciousness, the privilege of being alive in this world, with the opportunity to bring more compassion, more light. To feel the flow of God's grace rising in our own beings and shining out as an encouragement and a comfort for those around us. And I invite you to align your breath with this phrase of a nature meditation. On the inhalation, we concentrate on the phrase, strengthen my heart in thy faith. And on the exhalation, think of the phrase, as the rock of the mountains. Breathing in, strengthen my heart in thy faith. Breathing out, as the rock of the mountains. Once more, breathing in, strengthen my heart in thy faith. As the rock of the mountains. Thank you, friends.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's always a real treat to have you here. So, I'm Bob Barton. I'm the treasurer of the council. And as you might have imagined, it was easy to select me for this portion of our service. This is the opportunity we all have to share our blessings with Unity Spiritual Center of Denver. Your blessings allow us to have programming like this, incredible music, and other programs as well. The ways in which you can give, I think most of you who are regulars are well aware of, but I'll repeat them again, through the website and the Unity Spiritual Center of Denver app, you can make contributions of any kind, repeating contributions, one-time contributions, whatever might work for you. The other manner in which you can give, of course, is right here, right now, as you're leaving the service today. We'll have baskets in the back, and you can leave checks or money or whatever, gold rings, anything at all would be just fine. So I want to offer our offertory message right now. I don't know if we have it up here. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Repeat with me, if you will. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am.